Good morning to you again and again. We are glad that you are here. If those of you who are watching digitally, we are glad that you are here as well. Let me just follow up on a word that was said at the very beginning. You do have that insert in your bulletin. This is the week of prayer for association missions. The association is the longest running group of Baptist churches organization in the United States. The Baptist Association has been around for 400 plus years. So what that means is this: far longer than the Southern Baptist Convention. Southern Baptist Convention didn't come around until 1845. Baptist associations have been around where churches group together and realize that we do better what we do together. Our church is a part of the Greenville Baptist Association, and I will tell you this, having served in various associations and serving in this association, I'm the vice moderator in this association, and I can tell you that they are not always created equal. There are some associations that do a lot. There are some associations that do not as much. I think Jesus loves them all, but I will tell you this, that the Greenville Baptist Association is one of those associations that has a lot that is going for the cause of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, lift them up in prayer, be prayerful. A portion of everything that you give goes from our church to the Greenville Baptist Association because we believe so strongly in that work that they are doing. So I want to encourage you as you give to remember that you're a part of that work as well. We're in the middle of this series right now. This is the fifth of seven churches in our series called Finding a Good Church. What we're doing, we're looking at, we're walking and working our way down through chapters 2 and 3 of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in your Bible. For a lot of you, it goes Revelation, Concordance, Maps, okay? So it's right there at the very end. And so if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a smartphone or a tablet, take a moment. There's a QR code on the back of your bulletin. You can just click that and it will take you to a digital version of these notes. But if you do not own a Bible, please see me after this service. We want to give you a copy of the Word of God as a gift from Five Forks Baptist to you. All that we ask of you is that you read it and allow God to speak to you through His Word. So thank you for being here around the Word of God today. So we're studying these letters and we're talking about it through the lens of looking at Five Forks Baptist Church. For those of you who have already found a good church and Five Forks Baptist Church is your church, or if you are looking for a church, and I know several of you in this room right now are trying to evaluate, is Five Forks Baptist Church the place for me? And so what I am giving you is valuable intel here for how you are going to find out God's desire for you for a church. And the Church of Sardis is the one that we are going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about finding a church that is alive. Now, this church, this message, is putting a positive spin on a negative message that Jesus gives to the church at Sardis. And we are studying these churches in the year 2021 because there are a great deal of churches out there today, and so you certainly have the ability to choose where God wants you to be, but what criteria are you going to use? And that's why we're looking at these churches. Now, unfortunately, the church at Sardis is a church to whom Jesus has absolutely no positive word whatsoever to convey. There is no commendation. It is a church that only receives a warning from him. Now, let me give you a little bit of a background on the church at Sardis. When you learn about these cities, it'll tell you something about the churches that are located there. I want to make sure you understand. Simpsonville tells you something about Five Forks Baptist Church, okay? Every church is located in a city that tells you something about it. The city of Sardis was about 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, where we were last time. It's located on a fertile plain. It was a large city, about 100,000 or 120,000 in population. It was a city that had been known in the past for its commerce. It was a city that had been known in the past for its wool industry. It was a city that had been known in the past for its garment industry, that had been known in the past for its musicians. They had a music school there. It was a city that had been known for a lot of things. The first minted coins that we ever have record of were minted in the city of Sardis. It was a up-and-coming city in the Greek Empire. And then the Greeks got swallowed up by the Roman Empire. Rome didn't have much reason to look at Sardis and to think there was anything good there. So Sardis had begun to fade away in the national consciousness. They had an arena, a huge arena that would seat over 15,000 people. It was about the size of Bon Secours Arena here in Greenville. It was a city that was very famous back in the day. Its reputation was very well known, and it was living in the past on its reputation. Over-the-hill musicians, run-down shops, dishonest shopkeepers. It is important to know the background of these cities because you learn a great deal about the church by what you find in the city. Unfortunately, there is a tendency among churches to take on the persona of the city instead of the city being transformed by the church. God intends for a church to be a thermostat, regulating the spiritual temperature of the city, rather than being a thermometer and just registering whatever the temperature of that city is. God put a church in Sardis because he wanted to change the atmosphere spiritually in Sardis. Make sure you understand. God placed a church in Simpsonville because he wanted to spiritually change the temperature in Simpsonville. And so the question becomes, is Five Forks Baptist Church a thermostat changing the spiritual temperature of the city around it, or are we a thermometer just registering what's going on around us? Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, gives us the message. Jesus says, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says, I know your works. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Be alert and strengthen what remains, which is about to die, for I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. But if you're not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I'll come against you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in while, because they are worthy. In the same way, the victor will be dressed in white clothes, and I'll never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Anyone who has ears to hear should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now that God has spoken to us through the reading of his word, let's speak with him in prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that even in the midst of a difficult word, you are still speaking. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to look at Sardis, a used-to-be church in a used-to-be city, and say, what can we learn that will prevent that from happening at Five Forks Baptist Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina? Lord, we want to be all that we can be for you. And I pray you'll help that to be seen through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a church in Sardis. It is. It's a used-to-be city. Now it's going to become a used-to-be church, because the church is living on its past, living on its previous reputation. The same thing can be true in the lives of Christians. It is possible for you to live your Christian life completely talking about what used to happen in your life. I used to serve in the nursery. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to do this. I used to be that. Instead of, here's what God is doing in my life right now, and here's how I am serving him right now. Can't you imagine that word gets to Sardis? Ephesus got a letter from Jesus himself, and they're so excited. Pergamum got a letter from Jesus. Smyrna got a letter from Jesus. Did you hear all the great stuff that he said about Smyrna? And they get so excited. Thyatira gets a letter from Jesus. The church is full of excitement and anticipation, and then they get the letter. Can you imagine the shock and the disappointment that registers with them? They were not a weak church that needed restoration. They were not a sick church that needed rejuvenation. They were a dead church that needed resurrection. We're going to see that the city had great written over the door. The church thought super was what was written over their door, but Jesus looks and says, Ichabod, no glory here anymore is what's written over your door. Can you imagine the conviction and disappointment that this church must have felt when they got that letter? I pray that Jesus would not have that word to say about our church today. Jesus says to the angel of the church at Sardis, write, the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, we know the seven stars. We know what that's about. It's the seven pastors or leaders of the seven churches. But what does he mean when he says the seven spirits of God? Is he saying there are seven Holy Spirits? No. There's only one Holy Spirit. But seven in the Bible, and Pastor Kenny just talked about this last Sunday night. It was last Sunday night, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last Sunday night in the series on the book of the Revelation. The number seven in the Bible is the number of completion. You think about like 7 days in a week, seven colors in the spectrum, seven notes on the scale, different things like that. Seven is a number of completion and perfection. So when he talks about the seven spirits of God, that's what he's talking about there, fullness and completeness. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the one who's full. I'm the one who's complete. You're dead. I want to give you life. So I want you to see some of the things that Jesus knows about the church in Sardis. You've got some blanks in your notes page. If you have a bulletin, you can open that up and you'll see where those are. And I want you to see these different things that Jesus knows about this church. So, first of all, Jesus knows the condition of the church at Sardis. Jesus knows the condition of the church. So, Jesus is saying something about the condition. Guys, I am not getting this clicker to work, so we may have to do that manually. Thank you, I appreciate it. Okay. So he talks, for instance, about the church's reputation. Okay, he says, I know your works, you have a reputation for being alive. So this church had a reputation for being a church that was an alive church. He says, I know your works, you have this reputation for being alive. Reputation is what people think you are. Okay, so you have a reputation of what people think about you. But your reputation doesn't always match the reality. This was a working church. They had meetings. They had stirring music, I'm sure. They had great preaching. They had all kinds of programs going on for every member of the family. You could come here and get all sorts of different things. They had promotions, they had programs, they had publicity. If you'd moved to the city of Sardis, it probably wouldn't have been long before you got a postcard from Sardis Church that told you, hey, we want to make sure that you come. You've just moved to the area. Have you changed churches yet? It was an alive church. They had a reputation. There are a lot of people today who are living on their reputation. They're who they used to be, what their name used to be like. Word gets out that Jesus had written a letter to the church at Sardis. Next Sunday, we're all going to be gathered together and we're going to hear the letter that Jesus has written to us. I can imagine that at Sardis, on church that morning, they were, everybody was sitting there anxiously just waiting to hear what it was going to be. You have a name that you are alive. And I'll bet when they said that, everybody in the church at Sardis kind of sat up a little straighter and straightened up their clothes, said, yeah, that's right. We got a reputation that we're alive. But then the reality kicks in. And Jesus looks at the church and says, but you are dead. Now he's moved from reputation to reality. Reputation is what people think you are. Reality is what God knows you are. It is possible for a church to get a reputation, and its reality does not measure up to its reputation. Outward appearances can be deceiving. Sometimes things look like they are alive, and they're not. These flowers right in front of me are designed to look like they are alive. This is an artificial flower arrangement, but it's designed to look like it's alive. And sometimes you got to look closely. Outward appearances can be deceptive. Anybody here ever been in the trophy room of a big game hunter? I actually have at one point. I was in the trophy room of a big game hunter who went to Africa and had been on several different big game hunts. You walk in there, you can see lions and bears and deer, even a tiger. Lions that don't roar. Bears that don't run or climb trees. Tigers that don't growl because they're dead and they're stuffed. Outward appearances can be deceiving. Y'all, it's what happens in funeral homes all the time. Bodies, when they are prepared for funerals, are designed to look very alive. The funeral home embalmers have done a good job. The funeral home makeup people have done a fantastic job. And that corpse gives the outward appearance of life. But there is no life there. It is possible for a church to have a reputation but not be fully alive. The Lord Jesus says to this church, you have a reputation, you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. I think that's one of the greatest tragedies that could ever be addressed in a church that is named after the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrected, living Son of God. Spiritual autopsy results, he gives them. He says it's church death. What about you? Let's take it out of the realm of churches and put it into the realm of individual Christians for a minute. What about you? Where do you stand with the Lord? Now, you can't lose your salvation. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you were going one way and all of a sudden you were arrested by the grace of God and understood that God loves you and sent His only Son to die for you, and you turned from your sin and your own way of trying to make life work, the Bible calls that repentance, and you trusted Jesus alone to save you. If that has happened in your life, you can't lose your salvation. Because you didn't do anything to gain it. Jesus paid the price for your salvation, so Jesus keeps your salvation. But you can lose your fire. You don't lose your soul salvation. You may go to heaven when you die, but maybe you've lost your keen edge down here on earth. You've lost your spiritual power. You're going through the motions. It is possible for a church, it is possible for an individual Christian to go through the motions, and yet there's no reality in that experience in their life. There is a message here that we need to heed, Five Forks Baptist Church. God has given to us an amazing past. We just celebrated it at homecoming. But we want to be careful that we don't live on a past reputation. We thank God for everything that happened in the past. We thank God for our heritage. We thank God for every victory that God has given to us. But I am not living in 1974, and neither are you. I am not living in 2008, and neither are you. I'm not living in 2019, right before COVID, and neither are you. We are living in 2021, and God has called us, whether it is COVID, or whether it is inflation, or whether it is persecution, to advance the cause of the gospel anyway. And we need to do that. I'm interested in what God is going to do at Five Forks Baptist Church tomorrow. I'm interested in what he's going to do today. I'm interested in seeing how God is going to do an amazing thing in this place. Everything you read in the newspapers, you see that this city is changing. As a matter of fact, right before I came here, there was a newspaper article that called this Five Forks area the 7 most coveted square miles in Greenville County. There is a chemistry that goes on here. There is a dynamic going on here. And although the message that we convey does not change, the preaching of God's word should not change, there will be methods that will change a little bit to be able to reach people in the day and age where God has placed us. You will find believers here. If you are looking for a good church, you will find believers here who are wide awake and alive in Jesus. And let me tell you where you'll find a whole lot of them. You'll find them in our adult Bible fellowship study classes, our Sunday school classes. You need to get involved in a Bible study class. Some of you, you've been coming to morning worship services, and we are glad. I am glad that you are here. We count that a privilege that you have said, hey, I want to come and hear the Word of God taught here. But some of you have been coming to morning worship services, but let me encourage you to get up just a little bit earlier. Let me encourage you to get here at 9:30 in the mornings. We'll find a class for you. Pastor Kenny would love to talk with you about that and share with you. And that's where life, you'll find, is going on. That's where people who are serious about Bible study and serious about their witness for the Lord Jesus Christ are congregating there. So don't let it be said that you have a name, that you're alive, but in reality, you're dead. The cause of death, he tells them. He says, I have not found your works to be complete before my God. Now, the word complete right there, that doesn't mean sinless. As a matter of fact, your translation may even say perfect right there. But it doesn't mean sinless when it says that. It just means that he has not had spiritual power placed into those works in a long time. I mean, I'm alive this morning. I can speak. I'm speaking to you. I can walk around. I can feel. I can sing. But do you know why I'm alive? I'm alive right now because my heart is beating. I am alive right now because breath is being taken into my lungs, being converted into oxygen, and sent through all the parts of my body to do everything that needs to do. As a matter of fact, one of the diagnostic markers of physical death that physicians are trained to look for is the absence of breath. Because the absence of breath is an indicator of death. Jesus says, I have the 7 spirits of God. Greek word pneuma. It's where we get the word wind or breath. He says, I have breath that I want to give for you. He says, don't do the things you've been doing. Put life into what is going on in your church. He's not saying to quit singing. He's saying to sing in the Spirit. He's not saying quit preaching. He's saying preach in the Spirit. He's not saying quit going out and sharing the gospel. He's saying do it in the power of the Spirit. Make your works complete before God. So Jesus knows the condition of this church, and he very accurately diagnoses it. But the second thing I want you to see is Jesus also knows the cure for the church. He knows the cure. He gives a spiritual prescription. Now, this is amazing because he's just said, you're dead. But hey, when you're dealing with the resurrection and the life, a little thing like death can't get in your way. So he says, yeah, you can still work for this. You can still change to become what you need to be. There's hope for a dead church. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Be alert. Be watchful. You know, they tell me that when you are freezing, if somebody's hypothermic, that the very worst thing that you can do, but the thing you really want to do, is to go to sleep. They say it makes you so tired and you just want to go to sleep, but when you go to sleep, it invites certain death. So Jesus says, be alert, be up, be watchful, strengthen what remains. Don't allow yourself spiritually to go to sleep. Be watchful and strengthen the things that count. And then he says, much like he said to the church at Ephesus, very first church we looked at, remember and repent. Remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. I've been a Christian since I was a very young boy. I have always been glad that I trusted Jesus Christ when I was a young boy. I'm glad I gave my life to Jesus at one of the very earliest points of my life. But if we are to strengthen the things that remain, we need to put into reality those things that remain. We need to make sure that as we go and we can look back in the rearview mirror and see our salvation, that we don't get to the point where we take that for granted. Remember, he says, remember it. And then he says, repent. Because if you aren't alert, I'll come as a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come against you. The city of Sardis had been taken over on two different occasions, the last time by the Romans. And they were taken over by the Romans because they had had a party the night before, and their watchmen were asleep. And so he says, I will come like a thief. I'm going to come in judgment. That did happen in Sardis. Look at the churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. It's one of the darkest parts of the globe now, spiritually speaking. And it was vibrant with spiritual life in the Apostle Paul's day, in the Apostle John's day. They didn't repent, and Jesus came, and he took their gospel witness away with their light. He says, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. Basically, all that means is I'm not going to announce it. Okay? I mean, thieves don't do that. A thief doesn't call you up or shoot you a text and say, hey, listen, I was going to come to your house around 10 o'clock this morning and take everything you got. Is that okay with you? Is that a reasonably good time for you, or do we need to readjust? That's not the way thieves work. They come unexpectedly. They come when you don't know that they're going to come. Let me ask you this. If Jesus were to come today, right now, would you be glad to see him? Now, those of you who know Jesus as your Savior, your instant answer is going to be, oh, absolutely, I would love to see Jesus come today. Would you? Or are you looking at your life and saying, I don't know. If Jesus were to come today, would I want him to see me involved in what I'm involved in? It is possible to look for Jesus' appearing, but to not long for Jesus' appearing. I've told you some stories about my upbringing. One story I'll tell you. There was a time when I got in trouble. I got in such bad trouble, and perhaps this has happened to you in your life, that my mother said, I am not going to deal with this. Go to your room. Your dad is going to deal with this when he gets home. Y'all ever have one of those happen? Yeah, I see a lot of heads. Yeah, I see a lot of heads shaking up and down. Sophia never did. Sophia's the one who's shaking her head no. So, never happened to her, but it happened to me. Well, it's interesting. I go up and I sit in my room that overlooks the driveway. And I'm waiting for Dad to come home. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking for Dad's appearing, but I was not longing for Dad's appearing. How about you? Are you looking for Jesus' appearing, but maybe not longing for it? Jesus says, remember and repent, or else I'll come quickly. And I'm not telling you when I'm coming, but when he does come quickly, you are ready and waiting. You are ready for him to come now. Jesus knows the cure for the church. Final thing I want you to see, though, Jesus also knows the committed in the church. Jesus knows the committed. This is interesting to me. He just says that that this church is dead. And now in verse 4, he talks about this committed group of people who are here. He says, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothes, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. Here is a church where the great physician has gone and he has felt the pulse of the church. And quite honestly, he hasn't gotten anything from that. He has declared them dead, but he says there are still some people there who are committed to me. I have found in my years of ministry that it does not matter the condition of the church. God always has a group of people who are committed to him. God has a faithful remnant. He always has a master's minority. That little group of committed people, he addresses the committed. He says, I know there are a few names that are still with me. I want to call on the committed Christians of Five Forks Baptist Church to stay alive for the cause of Jesus Christ. Make sure you pray. Make sure you're sharing the gospel. Make sure that you are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says they haven't defiled their garments. They've kept their lives clean. They've lived the way they are supposed to live. You know, operating rooms have to be impeccably clean. They have to be germ-free. They jack the temperature down in there so that it prevents the growth of bacteria. And so you've got all of these measures that they take. Now, what happens when your physician comes in? He's the most talented physician on this side of the country at what you need done. And he comes in and he's eating a slice of shakaroni pizza. Okay? He comes in and it's dripping just all down his arm right here, and he's got pizza sauce all over, and he says, I'll be with you in just a second. And then he finishes the crust. Y'all eat the crust? I have a couple kids that don't eat the crust. Yeah, well, anyway. So he says, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm ready to operate now. You're going to look at him and you're going to say, Doc, you need to go clean up. But before you work on me, I want you to be clean. God tells believers he wants them to scrub up. He wants you to be clean. If God is going to use Five Forks Baptist Church to change the spiritual temperature of Simpsonville, South Carolina, we have got to be clean. We have got to walk in white, not defile our garments, and be clean as Jesus is clean. It is possible to look like you're alive and to be dead. Light travels through space at the speed of 186 miles per second, every second. It's called the speed of light for that reason. So the light that you see from stars, depending on how far away they are, for instance, the star closest to us, the sun, light from the sun takes 8 minutes to get to us, so that's not very bad. Polaris, the North Star, though, 447 light years away. That means that the light that you see when the North Star comes out at night, you are actually seeing from it left Polaris at the time Jamestown was founded, the earliest English colony, permanent colony, in the United States, because it takes so long to get here. There is light right now. If you go out on a bright night, there's light that you are seeing right now from stars that have long since gone dark and cold. But the light is still reaching you because it takes so long to get here. It is possible for a church to look very, very bright long after it's gone dark and cold. Five Forks Baptist Church, here's the mirror of the Word of God. What do we look like? He talks to the victors. He says, the victors, the overcomers, they'll be dressed in white clothes. So this harkens back to the victors in military celebrations who would come dressed in the finest white clothing and they would be paraded through town. He says, one of these days, if you keep clean down here, you'll be dressed with me in white up there. And he says, I will acknowledge him before my Father and the holy angels, and I will never erase his name from the book of life. So you're hearing about the book of life. You say, what's that about? Let's talk about the whole idea of the book of life. It seems that when you put all the scriptures together, when you are born, your name is placed in the book of life. That means you have physical life. If along the way you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name remains in the book of life because you now have second birth. You are born again, and it remains for all time. Until time is gone, it will still be there. And if you go along the way and you refuse to trust Jesus as your Savior and you die physically, at that point your name is taken out of the book of life. You come to Revelation 20. You have that awesome, awe-inspiring passage where John describes what he sees, and he says, and I saw a throne, and the one who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God, and the books were opened. And he says, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their deeds. But then it makes this statement. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Jesus says that there is coming a day. We call that the Great White Throne Judgment. It is a day of reckoning for lost mankind. But if you look in Revelation 21:27, the end of the book, it says that the names of believers are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you're born physically, your name is placed into the book. When you're born spiritually, your name stays in the book for all eternity. He says in verse 5, I'll acknowledge him before my Father and the holy angels. If you confess me down here, Jesus says, I'll confess you up there. As a matter of fact, that's what he says in the Gospels. He says, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I'll deny him before my Father who is in heaven. What's Jesus saying? He says, faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. That's why every time I preach and every time we're done, this time included, we give a public invitation for you to publicly come forward and confess Jesus Christ before men. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your heart. That's personal. That's between you and the Lord. Jesus says, don't be ashamed. I'm your Savior. He says, I want you to make public and publicly declare before men that I am your Savior. If you will receive Jesus as your Savior, then one of these days Jesus will confess you publicly
before his Father in heaven, and he will say, Father, this one is one of mine. He confessed me down there. I confess him to you up here. Do you know Jesus? Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord? If not, you have an opportunity to do that right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Those of you who are watching on video, and those of you in this room, if today you would like to know Jesus as Savior, Jesus has promised he will save you if you call on him. If you're willing to turn from your sin, from your own way of trying to make life work, and you're willing to trust Jesus alone to save you, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you. It's as simple as praying. It's as simple as calling out to him. So if you're in your bedroom or your living room, if you're in your cubicle at work, or if you're sitting right here in this room and you don't know Jesus, then you can pray and just say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. I know you died on the cross for my sin and proved you were God by rising on the third day. I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. If that is something that you prayed and you're following along digitally, if you meant that in your heart, congratulations, you just became a member of the family of God. I want to encourage you to reach out to me, email me at tim@fiveforks.org, and I would love to share with you just some follow-up material on what your new life with Jesus is all about, and we would love to celebrate with you. Those of you in this room, if you prayed that prayer, then I'm going to ask you to come here in just a moment. So right now, I'm going to ask you all to stand. The invitation today is going to be sung by our musicians. And while it is, I want to encourage you, think through this, think through these words. If you have a need right now, maybe you have a need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you need to. And you just want to come and say, Pastor Tim, I need to pray that prayer. Maybe you did pray that prayer and you just want to come and say, Pastor Tim, I'm just confessing him before men, like you said. Maybe you have another need. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join this church, make it your place of ministry involvement. Maybe there's a need I haven't even touched on. You just want to come and pray that you'll be more alive so that you aren't just looking for Jesus' coming, but you are longing for it. Whatever that need is in your life, as they sing, I want to encourage you. Don't wait for somebody else. You come right now. Thank you.